What's up, DC? Welcome back to another edition of Locked On Wizards with SB Nation's Bullets Forever writer Ben Mahich and myself, Anthony Citadino. We're your hosts, and you are now Locked On Wizards, where you get everything Wizards basketball. Go subscribe to the Locked On Wizards podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network, Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you may listen. Go throw us a follow on Twitter at Locked On Wizards. We have a great show ahead of us and a ton to get into. Ben and I will be discussing the most recent loss against the Memphis Grizzlies and what was surprisingly an uninspiring performance from really everyone. But first, Ben and I would love to thank all of you out there for tuning in, listening, whenever you may be making this show a part of your day, before work, after work, during lunch. Guys, we love your support. So thank you. We love coming at you Monday through Friday. Ben, let's get right into it. Like I said, we have a ton to cover. After a really, really bad loss this somber Tuesday evening, Ben, against the Memphis Grizzlies, 125 to 111. Ben, flat out, the Wizards were never able to really find a groove in this one. And it started off slow and the pace never really seemed to pick up. Turnovers were just, it was so hard to watch them turn the ball over the way they did, how much they did. And they never really gave themselves a real shot to win this one. Ben, I hope you're doing well, my friend, a lot better than a lot of these Wizards fans out here. How are you doing? And what do you think of this latest loss?
Anthony, I'm doing well. We're going to bring the energy. Look, the Wizards couldn't bring it. They weren't consistent, but guess what? Locked On Wizards is consistent, and we always bring the energy. There are no fans in attendance, but I wish that they could get their money back. That's how bad that loss was. I mean, from start to finish,
oh wow!
The stars, Brad Beal, Russell Westbrook, six turnovers for Brad, eight for Russ, could never get any flow going. Memphis looked like the veteran team, even though they were led by Ja Morant, who's 21 years old. This is one of the worst losses I think Washington's had this year, just because they had all the momentum in the world. We mentioned the Boston loss on Sunday. That was a disappointing loss. It wasn't some sort of, they didn't take a beating in that game. It was kind of just a happenstance loss. We're up by five with 40 seconds left. They had momentum going into this game. Should have won it. You know, Memphis is a very young team. Washington was rolling, and they really dropped the ball here. Really nothing positive to say here besides the fact that Denny Abdia got some run. It's hard to put together any semblance of momentum when you're turning the ball over left and right. Nobody here got the flow going. Rarely, look, 23-point game for most players is a good game. For Bradley Beal, it's a bad game. 23 points, six turnovers. Didn't play all that well. Could never get his flow. So all in all, just kind of just a flat game from the Wizards, flat game from the coaching staff. All in all, just a F. I give him an F all around.
Giving him F. Guys, Ben he opened up the show and he said, we're going to bring some positivity, some energy, and he gives us an F.
I never said positivity. I said energy and consistency. That's what we're here for. I bring the energy and consistency, Anthony. That's what the Wizards didn't do on Tuesday. But guess what? The season is long. We've seen this team bounce back. Right, we have to stay hopeful if we're gonna take that road. But
hard to really
find anything to, I guess, gain from this loss. It's like,
guys, Ben, come on. I thought you were gonna find one of the most obvious things to really take from this. That's such a positive to take.
Bring
away.
It home.
Another unbelievably efficient night for our guy, Robin Lopez, 6 for 6 from the
Let's
floor.
Let's go,
14
baby.
Boards. I mean, he brought, you know what he brought out of his bag. It's that hook shot that I love. It's that hook shot that we all love. That's gold.
It is. Look.
I mean,
nothing else is falling that well.
And it always does. If anything's consistent this season, Locked On Wizards fans, Ben Mahich, it's got to be Robin Lopez.
It's got to be Robin Lopez. We just talked about one of the worst losses they've had this year in terms of the momentum that came into the game. But guess what? Robin Lopez, 100% from the field, 14 points, basically all hook shots. We've made fun of this guy all throughout the season, poke fun at him, obviously. He's become a scorer. He's not the defensive presence the Wizards had hoped that he would become. But honestly, jokes aside, he really was the only bright spot this game, which doesn't bode well for the game. And as you see,
him and Denny, really.
Denny played well as well. We'll touch on him a little bit later. But 125-111, that's the story of the game. And Robin Lopez is the player of the game.
Is he? I'd say he is. Why
exactly.
not?
Exactly. And that's why we're sitting here and looking at the record or the score.
Because, Ben, 22 turnovers as a team.
Hard to overcome.
Robin Lopez, not a turnover.
Not a turnover,
Ben,
but
This man, he is efficient when it comes to picking and choosing his shots. But yeah, this was a tough one to watch. Ben, I mean, really going really from out the gate, there seemed like there was never any sort of momentum. And after their loss against the Boston Celtics, I really hope morale has not been lost in the locker room, because throughout that entire game, that was one of the more entertaining games I've watched this season. When they were in Boston, and you know, they had a really, it was a tough loss. I mean, it seemed like it really beat them up. So I really hope they didn't lose morale. But we are fortunate. We are headed right into the All-Star break after this.
This I think was more of a product of just straight up reverting into bad habits. Like when the Wizards were playing good basketball, Russell Westbrook was playing that, and I called it like the Rondo-esque type role, where he was the lead playmaker, really stepped it back with his three-point shooting, even his mid-range jump shots. The only shots he was really taking was in the paint. He was facilitating. On Tuesday, he decided that he was going to become a three-point shooter, took 7 threes. That's not his game. Had 8 turnovers, 7 in the first half. It
came out of nowhere.
It's really hard to win games when he's turning the ball over that much. No momentum whatsoever. You find yourself down by double digits. And to climb out of a 20-point lead, like as the Wizards have done time after time after time, takes so much energy, and it's basically impossible to end up winning those games. And that's why you see the result is what it is. Russell Westbrook needs to go back to doing what he did when the Wizards were winning games. Stop shooting the three-point shot, because truth be told, he's reminding me of Josh Smith a little bit with the Detroit Pistons, where he just refused to stop doing things that he was bad at this point in his career. Russell Westbrook is not a jump shooter. He never was. He never will be. At 32 years old, he's not going to develop a three-point shot overnight. So he needs to stop shooting threes. I don't know if Scott Brooks has told him this behind the scenes, how the coaching staff is approaching Russell Westbrook's role, but it's pretty apparent that he needs to stop shooting, period. If he's going to age gracefully, he needs to be a facilitator, help defensively, and just make that the focal point of his game, because the three-point shooting, the mid-range shooting, the ridiculous turnovers isn't going to help the Wizards at this point.
This was a surprise, Ben, because he really, for the past handful of games, he has been taking, what, 1-2 threes a game, some games, you know, no threes. This was kind of out of nowhere. Maybe it was because the team never were really able to find a rhythm, and you know, the Stars try and will their team from behind, because Ben, hey, we're down what, 20 something in the third as the fourth was approaching. So that it really was all bad all around, and for a lot of guys too. I mean Russ, yes, he had a lot of turnovers, and it was brutal for him shooting the ball, especially, you know, for Bradley Beal too. He did not have a good night. It's a very rare shooting night for Brad. Obviously, he's the best, you know, offensive guard in the league, offensive player in the league. That's what we always talk about. But Ben, Rui Hachimura, 25 minutes, 2-for-7 from the floor, 7 points, 2 rebounds. He hasn't been too assertive trying to rebound more. Really, this season, he's been more inconsistent shooting the ball, picking and choosing his shots. Ben, he prides himself on being this great defending, power forward. Are we going to see much more from him offensively, or are we going to see just kind of like the inconsistencies that we've seen so far?
That's, I think, almost the story of a player in his position, where he's 23 years old. He's being asked to play a fairly large role on a team that's expected to win games. The up and downs will be there. His three-point shooting, I thought, is a bit concerning, because he's been shooting like 20% over the last 10, 15 games or something like that. And for him to really expand his game and to become the player that he can become, he has to start hitting threes. And we'll touch on Rui a little bit more, because these past three games have been really rough, Anthony. And look, this entire game on Tuesday was rough. And before we get into some of the other odd things that we saw on Tuesday, I want to let you guys know about CBD. MD. March is National Sleep Month, and as the official CBD of a good night's sleep, our good friends at CBDMD want to help you celebrate the right way. They've got dozens of options to help you relax, recharge, and enhance your nighttime routine, and there's nothing more calming than a nice hot bath. CBD bath salts fuse superior CBD with a mixture of Epsom, Dead Sea, and Himalayan salts to turn any bathtub into a luxury spa experience. And Anthony will tell you all about it, because he loves it. Choose from lavender or eucalyptus scents, or a soothing nighttime blend with melatonin and calming herbs. While CBD bath bombs provide a refreshing, relaxing bath experience by combining 100 milligrams of CBD with essential oils, Epsom salt, and calming natural scents to help you soak away the day. Go to CBDMD.com and use the promo code NBA for 20% off or 25% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD. That's CBDMD.com. Use the promo code NBA for 25% off. We're covering everything you need to know about the Wizards, but what about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. Anthony, Tuesday was just weird for the Wizards. It was just bad all around, and I think we can throw Scott Brooks in that mix as well. He's had a difficult time finding his rotation all season long. Tuesday, he did something odd, even by the season standards. He started Garrison Matthews and Mo Wagner, then he didn't play him the entire second half. Matthews played 9 minutes. Wagner totaled 11. Anthony, what gives? Is this a coaching blunder? Did you see Garrison and Mo do something wrong? Is he still trying to figure the rotations out halfway into the season? What gives?
What gives? This does not make any sense. And Ben, we've been talking about this all season. And really, we haven't been talking about it much as of recently, but the rotations continue to be super inconsistent. His minutes distribution is just really, really inconsistent. And if you're going to start Garrison Matthews, which they have been for a while now, really since
they went on a roll.
Since they started going on a roll. Exactly. And tonight, what do you get, 9 minutes?
9 minutes, him and Mo
Wagner. You got 9 minutes.
Yeah.
In those 9 minutes, 5 points, 2 for 4 from the floor. He's great in crunch time just because of how much energy he brings, he's always moving. That guy, he's moving 100 miles an hour always. He's always on the ball. So in crunch time, we always want him in there. Ben, like you said, him and Mo Wagner, no minutes late. And, to go up against a guy like Valanciunas is no easy task just because of the type of play. I mean, he is a great center in this league. And I know that Robin Lopez got some burn, not a lot of playing time, 14 minutes, but Alex Len, obviously, you and I are in agreement that he's probably the most athletic center on the team, and he got the most playing time tonight. But it makes absolutely no sense why Mo Wagner was not thrown into the mix in the second half whatsoever.
Yeah,
it makes no sense. Alex Len, I mean, at that stretch, maybe split time between the both of them. I mean, saw something more, with Alex Len defending Valanciunas and how he liked defending the glass and rebounding the ball. But still, it doesn't make sense if you're going to start Mo, if you're going to – It just doesn't make sense to me right now. I don't know.
If I went into a deep hibernation and woke up mid game, I would have thought this game happened 4 weeks ago. It's like the weird rotations were a part of this game as much as they've been 3 weeks ago when the team was still playing bad basketball. You're right. It didn't make sense, and it's hard to justify it. Like, it'd be one thing if Garrison Matthews played 9 minutes and he was turning the ball over, or he was fouling and he just couldn't get his rhythm. He had zero fouls. He went 2 for 4. He was playing good basketball. He brought the energy. Same thing with Mo Wagner. I couldn't justify it, especially like this team played with really no energy on Tuesday. These are two guys that you started for that reason. Why not play him the entire second half? It would be one thing if you limited their minutes. I couldn't figure it out. I think it's hard to justify. And in fact, I think it's hard to justify because there is no justification. So
there's not. And even still giving Troy Brown Jr. and Anthony Gill randomly 1 minute each. I don't understand why that is even worth it. I don't understand the rotations of Mo and Garrison Matthews showed us. I mean, he continued to show why they deserve minutes, why they are valuable pieces in this league. And really, I love seeing them in crunch time. I don't know about you, Ben, but I don't know what Scott saw differently in the first half where he wanted to make some drastic changes, because those are drastic changes in the game plan. You're starting these two guys, and you're refusing to play them after. So I don't know what he saw. Would they have had a better chance to win with those guys in? Yeah, I would think so. I don't know. Do you?
I mean, the record indicates that, right? They've been playing good basketball when they've been playing heavy minutes, and on Tuesday they didn't play really any significant minutes and sat the entire second half. But one thing that I think that's good to come out of this was with Mo Wagner and Garrison Matthews out, it lended itself to Denny Abdia getting more opportunities. He had a pretty good game, one of his better games in recent memory. 10 points, 7 rebounds, 4 for 7 shooting. He had a really cool layup off Russell Westbrook alley-oop, hit a couple of key threes down the stretch to cut the lead there. This is the Denny Abdia they need to use more. This 7 shots, he actually showed up and looked like an NBA player. He looked like an all-rookie type player. And why? Because he took shots. He had seven shots off the bench, played 26 minutes. They need more of this. Something I wanted to mention, and I've noted one of my colleagues disagreed with me on Bullets Forever, Kevin Broom, said that the Wizards run occasionally some creative sets that the Wizards run. I don't see those. I'm sorry, I don't see it.
When you say creative sets, do you mean like experimental sets?
Or just something that would maybe draw your interest when you're watching, right? It's not a traditional Bradley Beal handoff. It's not Davis Bertans coming off a down screen. It's not even running Robin Lopez on a post-up play.
Yeah,
they have the talent to run creative offenses. Denny Abdia is a 6'9 point forward. We say this all the time. Davis Bertans, he had a decent game, 3 for 6 shooting. He only took 6 shots in 28 minutes. Something's got to give here, right? If your offense isn't flowing, you're turning the ball over, why not, like, let's mix it up a little. Let Denny Abdia run the ball. Give Troy Brown some minutes. Just figure something out. Let's do something unconventional, something that you haven't tried before, something creative. I haven't seen that from Scott Brooks this season, especially when the going gets tough. The most creative thing I've seen Scott Brooks do this year is play Ish Smith, Howell Neto, and Russell Westbrook together. And sorry, that didn't work, and it wasn't all that creative. So here we need to, I think, change up the offense a little bit as opposed to just depending entirely on Westbrook and Beal, because they combined for almost 40 shots, and that's just not going to cut it in the modern NBA. You need to have a more inventive offense. But
absolutely, Ben, I totally agree with you. If you're going to be creative, quote-unquote creative, throw Jerome Robinson, Troy Brown Jr., and Isak Bonga, maybe an Anthony Gillen randomly, and give them actual time, actual minutes. Denny Abdia, consistent minutes. He got 26 minutes tonight. You're going to see an all-rookie type of player if you're going to give him the minutes that he deserves. And really, he deserved that role. I don't know why he lost his starting role. No one really knows why he lost his starting role. Maybe it's because of you know your colleague, like what he said, these creative sets. I don't buy that.
I don't see them. I'm sorry. I don't see them. Maybe
if it was creative, you're right. Troy Brown Jr. would be in there, because when we talk about player development, Ben, this is his third year in the league. Drafted him 15th overall. You're using your first round draft pick and you're trying to develop him. Last year, you gave him the minutes to do so. And I know that you are acquiring other guards, but if you're going to use him at the three spot, he's not a guard, right?
This isn't a situation where Troy Brown is playing behind veteran players who've earned over 6-7 years.
Exactly.
Of
experience. So yes, I can see being creative if you're throwing in Troy Brown Jr., if you're going to throw in more of Isak Bonga and Jerome Robinson. You're right, Ben, because when you play 3 point guards at once, how is that creative?
It's not.
I don't know about creative. I mean,
it's bad. It's bad basketball is what it is. And here's the issue.
Don't want to call it creative because
it's not. Here, John Morant, 35 points, 11 for 18 shooting. Clearly, Russell Westbrook was having a hard time guarding him at this point in his career. Clearly, Howell Neto is going to have a hard time guarding him. Troy Brown Jr. is one of the best defenders on this team. Why not throw him at him? Why not 100%. Throw Troy Brown at John 100%. Morant? We didn't see that on Tuesday, and what we saw was another lackluster performance all in all, from top to bottom, from Scott Brooks to the last guy who played. Just really no energy, no semblance of any sort of like consistency, just flat from the opening tip to the last buzzer, flat all in all.
Ben, what scares me about the Troy Brown situation right now is that next season, if they trade him, if he moves on to greener pastures, and we start to see other teams utilize him the way that the Wizards should, and he shines, because obviously we know that he can shine. And what scares me about that even more is, I mean, if you're going to do that to your 15th overall pick, what are you going to do to your 9th overall pick? How are you going to progress Denny Abdia along?
Yeah, I mean, that's a question.
It's been very up and down. I mean, great. He got 26 minutes against the Memphis Grizzlies. That's great. But I'd love to see more consistency in minutes distribution because, Ben, I mean, we say it over and over and over again. He's one of the best players on the team, right? And he earned his starting role.
Perhaps I'm seeing something in Troy Brown that no one else is seeing, but I think he clearly has the size of a modern NBA player. He has the skill set and the court vision that you need in like players that typically succeed today. Because the players that typically succeed today are the ones that can play multiple positions. They have great court vision. They can catch and shoot. Troy Brown can do all of that. Yet for whatever reason, the Wizards just haven't utilized him. And Denny Avdija is the same sort of player. 6'9", can handle the ball, can defend, can shoot from outside, can do a little bit of everything. Jack of all trades. Yet the Wizards just can't seem to utilize these players for whatever the reason. But before we get into more of the Wizards' troubles and touch on a little bit more of Rui Hachimura, I want to let you guys know that it's Built Bar Madness time with all the delicious flavors at Built Bar, from peanut butter brownie to the classic peanut butter. Which amazing flavor will prevail on top as the best tasting bar? We're going to do something we've never done before on Lockdown Wizards and touch and taste and unlock one of these flavors live on the podcast. Anthony, dig in. Let us know about this bar, how it tastes, what it looks like, and what it is. What are you holding right now?
Guys, we love the energy from Ben about Built Bar. And Built Bar has sent us many packages. Both Ben and I have gotten many shipments from Built Bar. I right now I'm holding a Built Bar crispy peanut butter bar, 21 grams of protein, guys, 170 calories, gluten-free, no preservatives. It's natural flavoring. This thing is unbelievably tasty. I'm just going to get right into it.
It's delicious. Give it a try, okay?
I mean, this is a podcast. We're not watching anything on TV. So this,
you got to describe what it tastes like.
Exactly. So, exactly. So, guys, I'm opening it up right now, just so you know. It looks absolutely delicious.
Wow. So, he just took a bite. Here we go.
Big bite, guys.
What is it? How delicious is it?
Guys, this Built Bar, I mean, I'm in the middle of doing a podcast, but if I was just getting done with a workout right now, I'd be through the roof. And right now, I'm still through the roof because this is. The peanut butter is absolutely unbelievable. The chocolate is great. The crunch is great. This is a Built Bar, crispy bar. I'm loving my life right now. Go
crispy
get it.
Crispy bar. There you have it from Anthony. But you can get more flavors on Built Bar if you go to BuiltBar.com and you use the promo code LOCKDOWN for 20% off. Is the crispy peanut bar the best bar? We'll find out on Built Bar Madness in due time. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. Bet online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Bet online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website right now or use your cell phone and receive 50% off or your welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts, and you'll receive 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code Locked On at BetOnline. March Madness is only a few weeks away, but the future of the NBA is on display right now. Get a head start on this year's draft analysis by subscribing to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast. Draft guru Chad Ford has released his Big Board 2.0 with profiles of future Washington Wizards Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, Evan Mobley, and more. Subscribe to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast wherever you get podcasts. Anthony, we just had a little bit of fun with that Built Bar, and we've been trying to maintain the energy and consistency as always as Lockdown Wizards. But Rui Hachimura, let's get into it. He's had a tough, tough point in this season. Here's his last three games. I get it. It's basic numbers. Some of you stat heads might come at me and tell me he's being incredibly efficient, yada, yada. Here's his last three games. 6 points against the Wolves, 2 points against the Celtics, 7 points against the Grizzlies on 7 shots. Anthony, I'm just going to ask you flat out, should we be worried about Rui? What's going on with this guy?
I think we should 100% be worried about Rui. I think he's having a very inconsistent year. Is that unfair to say, Ben? Am I crazy for saying he's having an inconsistent year?
Anthony, I mean, you're not wrong at all. I mean, Rui has been having an up-and-down season. We saw that over the last three games, as I just said. We saw that on Tuesday. I think the Wizards, again, we talked about them needing to get creative with their sets. Rui, I think maybe we have to accept that it might take him a little bit of time to develop a three-point shot. I think in ways that the Wizards need to improve in terms of getting Rui better shots, maybe make him a pick-and-pop player from the mid-range. Let him run some isolation plays from the post so he can face up and knock down those patented mid-range jump shots that he feels comfortable taking, because you don't want to make a player do something that he's not comfortable doing and perhaps hurt his confidence, hurt his contribution for the team. And we're kind of witnessing that with Rui. There's been times where, you know, he's been shooting like 20% from three over the last 10 games. He's not a three-point shooter at this point in his career. I would love if the Wizards use him as more of a pick-a-pop player from mid-range. Maybe in likes of like a LaMarcus Aldridge or something like that, because he is a good mid-range shooter, and you still get plenty of spacing there. The Wizards have some really solid three-point shooters, so I'm not sure it would hurt them offensively if they utilize Rui as more of a mid-range shooter, a post-up guy, a face-up player. But all in all, I think he has to pick his spots a little bit better, attack the basket with more purpose. We've seen him miss some easy bunnies around the basket, maybe try and dunk more. I see Drew Gooden, who does play-by-play for the Wizards, talks about that often. You know, driving with purpose, getting to the free throw line if he's struggling to make shots. These are all little things that Rui needs to do. But I'm not going to lose faith in Rui. He's only 23 years old. He has a ton of international experience. He's a star overseas in Japan. We've seen that he has NBA-type talent. I think he's a 17, 18, maybe even 20-point-per-game scorer. He's capable of doing that. I'm not going to give up on him. I think he's one of the better prospects the Wizards have on the roster. I'm excited to see what he ends up being, but at this point, it is up and down. I am worried more so about how the Wizards are using him and how the coaching staff is approaching his career more so than I am about Rui the player, because I think he does have an immense amount of talent. But as always, Lockdown Wizards faithful, we want to thank you for listening. We'll be back with you again tomorrow. The Clippers are coming up, so we'll preview that game. Don't forget to subscribe to the Lockdown Wizards podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, or wherever you prefer your podcasts. It's Lockdown Wizards, and as always, we'll be with you tomorrow.